Okay, perfect. Let me know once we're okay. We're recording.
We're live.
Okay, perfect. So we are recording. I'm just going to call this meeting to order. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us for the May 2021 meeting of Queens Community Board 11. My name is Mike Gudobin, and I am the chair of the board. As usual, I'm joined by first vice chair Victor Dadris, second vice chair Christine Hader, and third vice chair Henry Euler. And of course, by our district staff, Joe Marzoliano, Christina Catino, and Jane Bentivenga. Just before we get started in substance today, I just wanted to give a special thanks to Victor for chairing our April meeting in my absence. I heard the meeting went very well, and I really appreciate that. I had an engagement that I couldn't miss, and it was extremely helpful, and thanks for everybody for bearing with me through that. Also, since I wasn't at the April meeting, I just want to take this opportunity to formally welcome all of our new members of the board. I look very much forward to working with all of you. We're very excited to have you. I know you guys gave it a little introduction last month, and I know I've been speaking with various of you in different contexts, but just sort of wanted to give a formal welcome. Doug, by the way, I like your background there. Is that new? I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, it's a train station from 39.
Pretty cool. Looking good. As a reminder, during these Zoom meetings, and I say this every time, I ask that everyone please try and stay cognizant of the fact that it's a little easier to interrupt each other than it would be in person, and to please leave your phone or computer on mute during the meeting if you're not actively speaking. This will also keep us from hearing anyone's background noise. And Joe and I are the hosts of the meeting, and we have the ability to mute people. We'll be unmuting people when it's their turn to speak, including in connection with conducting roll call, taking any board votes, etc. Once you have been called on and have responded, we ask you please mute your line once again. Again, this will help keep things moving. And please do be patient with us if we run into any unexpected technical difficulties. I did want to just remind people, and I decided just to sort of do this every time. For those of you who recall, at least one of our meetings, we were the victims of Zoom bombing, which is quite disruptive and upsetting. I just want to warn people in advance that we have certain things in place to try and limit that. That's why we don't allow everyone to share their screens, and why we don't, for example, allow people to post in the chat. But if something disruptive or upsetting does happen tonight, we will be as quick as we can to turn things back to normal as we did last time. And again, I ask you to please bear with us and apologize in advance if something as upsetting as that happens. Okay, with that said, we're going to get started tonight with our virtual Pledge of Allegiance. You guys are going to be able to see my little turtleneck here. It's not exactly a fashion statement, but it's just an emblem of my struggles with the pandemic and my inability to fit into any of my fitted shirts anymore. So if we can all stand if you'd like to. And as usual, Joe will put a picture of the flag on the screen. There we go. And you can all join along if you'd like. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm always impressed by our relative ability to stay sort of with each other during that. Not bad, not bad. Okay, so to kick things off, we're gonna start off with public participation as usual. And I do believe that we are lucky enough to have Captain Port Aladdin from the 111th join us tonight. Joe, do you see the captain here?
I did not see him.
I got him.
Hey,
I'm here. Hey, there he is. Good to go, Captain. The floor is yours.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hi, Mike. Hi, Joe. Thanks for inviting me again. Hope everybody's doing well. Knock on wood, nothing going really on too crazy in the 111 right now. The one thing I need to get out there is actually two things, is scams. I have been taking an increase of grand larceny reports. I'm telling everybody right now, no police officer, no FBI agent, no IRS will ever ask you for money over the phone. If they do that, just hang up and call 911. I've been seeing a lot of individuals, especially seniors, being taken for loads of money. And I don't want that to happen to anybody. They work their whole lives. They have a great savings. And they have this one phone call where a guy pretends to be a police officer saying their grandchild or their son's locked up and give me $50,000. And obviously, it's your family member. You're worried. You want to get them out of jail. That's not the way we do it. It's never over the phone. And nobody's ever going to ask you to buy $50,000 worth of Best Buy credit cards or gift cards. Doesn't work like that. So please, if you get that, hang up the phone and just call 911. We're investigating. We have an excellent detective unit called Computer Crime Squads. They are trying to track these IPA addresses and lock these individuals up. But please do not fall victim to this horrific crime. The second thing, again, I mention this all the time, is just lock the doors and keep us yours. Yesterday, we had a burglary in the confines of the 111 where the individual left his back gate open and he left the ladder out. Perpetrator walked right in there, no problems whatsoever, took the ladder, adjusted it to the second floor where he left the second floor window open and was able to steal his jewelry. It's a shame. I know this is one of the safest commands in the whole of New York City, but we still have to lock our doors to keep what's yours. You guys work too hard for this. For your iPads, for your jewelry, just don't leave it unlocked. Secure it. If you do that, that's half the battle right there. These perpetrators will not. You don't want to waste time trying to break into your house or try to break a lock. It takes too much time for them, and they will go on to the next location. You just simply lock your doors. It will help us a long way, and hopefully, it gives us more time for them to catch them in the act, make their arrests. Knock on wood. Again, the 111 is still the safest. Precinct in the whole city. And just for example, year to date, we only have 4 robberies. Again, 4 robberies is too many, but 4 robberies. There's no other precinct in New York City that could say they only have 4 robberies. So, it's a great, great community. You guys stay together. You always call 911. We appreciate the help and assistance. But I rest assured that my officers are out there and we're making this community one of the safest communities in all New York City. At the time, any questions for me?
I see Sue. Sue, you have a question?
I would like to quickly share my experience this morning that included the NYPD. I woke up early at 6 a.m. I couldn't find my cell phone, so I went to my car to look for it. It wasn't there. When I got home, I used my landline to call my cell phone and I got my cell phone. Okay, so that's it. 30 minutes after, before 7, the phone rang. It was the NYPD asking me, is everything okay? And I was surprised. What's going on? I said, what seems to be the problem? They said to me that they had a call from my landline and I never hang up. So they're worried, is everything okay with me? And I was surprised. I realized that I did not hang up because I heard, that sound when the receivers of the hook, I heard it. And so I turned on my phone. And now I would like to give a big thank you to the NYPD for doing that. And I said to myself, wow, they are really defining. Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure. I mean, it's no problem. It happens all the time. People leave the phone off the hook, and we just, it's just procedure, just a call back to make sure everything's okay. I'm glad everything's working. Glad you found the call. Thank you very much for the compliment, though.
Thank you very much. So that would be your computer crime squad doing the work, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Great to hear stories like that. Okay, I have, and thank you as well. I have Eileen and I have Doug.
Hi, I just wanted to extend my sincerest thanks to the community affairs for the phenomenal job in graffiti cleanup down on 210th Street. Not only did they do it once, but they did it twice. And I cannot tell you how much it means to all the community. And on behalf of myself and Community Board 11, I want to thank you so much for that great job.
Well, thank you very much. I'll pass the message along. A lot of credit goes to my graffiti coordinator, and my NCOs, officers and sergeant that was in charge of that operation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eileen. Thank you for sharing. Doug, and then I see Christine as well.
Yeah, just to let you know that the scams continue to escalate. There's a new one. Somebody calls and says, there's fraud in your Amazon account. You need to enter your information into a website so that we can verify that it's in fact you. Just hang up on them. It's not real. If you ever have an issue, go to Amazon, call their number and ask them, but don't ever give your information out over the phone.
I think that's good advice, Doug. Thank you. Christine, I think I saw your hand as well. Christine, you're on mute. I apologize. If you just unmute yourself so we can hear you.
Yes, yesterday I want to thank the precinct because I was home and my neighbor was not. And she called me and said that her alarm, which is silent apparently, I didn't hear it, went to the police and she was very upset. So myself and my son walked around and whatever, and the police were there in 10 minutes. So I just wanted to say the response time was excellent. It calmed her fears. And, you know, I called her to say that they did come by and they checked the doors and windows and, you know, and didn't seem to be, it must've been a fluke in the wiring or something, but thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for telling me that. I love to hear stories like that.
Thank you, Christine.
I don't work all the time, but my office is that there 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, just to hear that they're doing the job correctly, you know, it's reassuring to me as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christine. Looks like a lot of good work in the area lately, Captain. So we appreciate that, and we appreciate you joining us tonight. Thank you for taking the time, and it's good to see you. It's good to see you in uniform tonight, looking good.
Thank you. So I'll see you guys later. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Okay. So next, as part of public participation, we're just going to recognize some of the representatives of local elected officials who joined us tonight and notified us in advance. I appreciate all of our reps joining us as always. I see John Gallo from Senator Liu's office. John, do you have any announcements tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple quick ones. Hi there, Mike. Hi, Joe. Hi, everyone. Good to see you folks here as always. And just going to say off the top, it's nice to see more and more folks, I think, at community events recently. I know we've seen, again, some people like Victor and Eileen, I think, this weekend. And I know there's that event that Mike and Joe were at for the Vanderbilt Motor Parkway, which was a nice thing to see some local press for. So just off the top of that. But beside that, the main events that we wanted to make sure everyone knew about were the Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month celebration that our office, Senator Liu, is sponsoring and will also be co-sponsored by other electeds. That's going to be this Wednesday night, May 5th at 6:30 p.m. That's online. Probably may have gotten already an email about it, but if you have any questions or you know, you want to make sure you have the Zoom link right or whatever it may be, you know, make sure that you contact us. It's going to include a presentation about a influential AAPI photographer named Corky Lee and contain other various cultural programming. So it certainly might be worth a check out if you're available at that time. And then next Tuesday, May 11th at 7 p.m., Senator Liu, along with Assemblymember Braunstein's office, they're going to be hosting a ranked choice voting information session online via Zoom. So just again, if you have any questions about those events or have any specific pieces of constituent services or questions about Senate legislative issues, feel free to always contact our office, 718-765-6675. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. And thanks, John. Really appreciate you joining us tonight. Okay, next, I think Susan Seinfeld from Councilmember Grudenchek's office. Sue, did you want to say a few words? Do you have any announcements? Sorry, you're still on mute, Sue. Can you still mute yourself there?
It was very nice to see you and Joe at the groundbreaking for the Vanderbilt and for you mentioning how long it was coming and how long the board had been asking for this. So it was good to see it's already started, but it's, you know, this was the big moment to announce it. Friday between 2:30 and 4, the councilman is sponsoring a face mask giveaway in front of Nature Farm that's Horace Harding and Marathon Parkway. And we appreciate that Assemblyman Braunstein and Senator Liu are part of that, are also helping sponsor this event along with the Community Board 11. So it's great that we're doing this in the board. And for all you that like to go to farmers markets, the Cunningham Park Farmers Market starts on Sunday, May 9th, that's next Sunday, and it will go through the rest of the year through mid-December, between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Sundays. And it's really been wonderful. Lots of vendors are there who sell all kinds of products. Wonderful. So I hope that you'll participate and come and support the vendors also. And that's it.
Thank you so much. It was great to see you as well at the Vanderbilt Motor Parkway. Yeah. Groundbreaking. It was a nice event. A little hot. I felt bad for the council member. He was wearing that heavy jacket. He looked good, but there's always a price you have to pay for that when the sun's up.
I like what you said. You didn't have to go like, I don't think they should have to with that too. And the borough president was even wearing a vest under the suit jacket.
I know. He had the three-piece. Fashion is never free. Fashion is never free.
Yeah, but okay. I'm glad it's getting going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me too. And thanks again for those announcements and for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Next, Isabel Polgarin from Assemblywoman Rozek's office. Isabel, did you want to say a few words?
Hi. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, just a quick thank you to you and Joe and for any to any CB11 members that came out to our town hall. Was that 2 weeks ago now? It was a great success. And if anyone didn't get the chance to come by and virtually come by and they needed to any assistance from our office, I just wanted to give out that information again, our telephone number, our email, 718-820-0241 and rozekn@nyassembly.gov. Also wanted to announce that we will be having an anti-Asian hate and anti-Semitism community conversation event with Queens College and Yeshiva University on the 19th. I'll send over the flyer, Mike, to you and Joe, so you guys can disseminate that. It's a conversation with academic university partners, and then CCHR will be doing a bystander training for the remaining hour of the event. So it should be pretty good. And I'll send over the information so you can disseminate. And then just as usual, we still have a lot of PPE if people need, and we will be having more events as the weather warms, and that's all.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Isabel. It was a pleasure to be a part of the town hall, and we appreciate your whole staff and Assemblywoman Rose for allowing us to participate. So thank you for that.
No problem.
So I know we've got a few other reps here tonight. Just wanted to make sure nobody else had any announcements they wanted to give. I appreciate y'all joining us before we move on. Okay, good to go. So we are going to move on then.
Mr. Ludabin, hi, it's Kat from the borough president's office.
Hey, Kat, how you doing? Go ahead, the floor is yours.
I'm good. Just happy May. I just want to remind all our new members and our reappointed members that you should have gotten an email from our director of community boards, Ms. Maricela Cano, reminding you to, you have a training tomorrow at 6:30. So please, please, please sign on, learn. And also May 15th, the borough president will be having a bicycle jamboree at our office in the parking lots, A and B, on Saturday, May 15th. I want to say about 11 o'clock. So adults and children, please bring your bikes out. We're trying to have a nice social distance springtime event. And I would hope all of you would attend if you are a bike rider. Please RSVP at the borough president's website, www.queensbp.org. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kat. I really appreciate that. I don't know why, but jamborees always get me particularly excited. I love that. I love that word.
If you have a bike, you should come on down.
Fantastic. And we really appreciate it. Thank you for that.
I apologize. I just have a small question about the trainings.
Yep. Go ahead, Stefan.
Yes.
So we don't have to attend both of them. We only have to attend either the one on the 4th or the one on the 6th, right?
Correct. You have to pick one out of those dates.
Oh, okay. Because tomorrow I have a class at that time and I cannot attend. So I'm choosing the 6th. So thank you so much.
No problem. If you have any hiccups, my email is Kate Thompson, letter K, last name Thompson, at queensbp.org. Always feel free to email me.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Stefan, and thank you, Kat.
Just to say it, I know, as I said earlier, for security reasons, we limit the chat availability, but if anybody needs to connect with anyone who makes an announcement tonight and wasn't able to get contact information or has any issues with that, please do contact the office. We're in regular communication with our local elected officials office, and we're happy to pass on information, requests, et cetera. So please please know you can contact the community board and we can do that for you as needed. Okay, so now we're going to have those members of the public who signed up for tonight's meeting speak. We do have limited time for speakers, so I ask that everyone please limit their remarks to no more than 3 minutes. And of course, please do stay civil and refer to all people in a respectful manner. Tonight, we had two folks sign up for public participation. And the first is Alex Maffei. Joe, do you see Alex here? Alex, are you here? I'm not. Joe, do you see the phone number that she had listed? I'm not currently seeing her. No, okay. So Ms. Maffei, if you can't hear us for some reason or having technical difficulties, please let us know and we're happy to give you your time. And if not, you can always contact us to speak next month. So the other person who signed up was actually one of our members, Jessica Burke. But Jessica, I think you wanted to speak during public participation from a perspective of your role as part of the Friends of Kosheron, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so Jessica, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Great, thank you very much, Mike. All right, so good evening, everyone. And yes, I am the president and founder of the Friends of Kosheron and John Golden Park. And we are looking to put on a farm stand or a farm box by Kosheron Park. We have already been talking to the transportation committee because we need to obtain a permit for the street area. And we are still looking for support from local organizations and also local politicians to help us do this. There's a bit of financial and logistical help that would really be great for us to be able to put this on and show that there is demand in the community. And hopefully we will be able to have a farm market like Cunningham has. So please reach out if you have any suggestions for helping connect us with any local community members. And our email is info@kosheronpark.org. And the website is kosheronpark.org if that's easier for you to contact us through. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Jessica. And I am thoroughly impressed that you kept that under 1 minute. I think you broke the record for the board's public participation. It's fantastically efficient. For folks that are interested in that, as Jessica said, this is something that we've been taking up at committee and are looking to assist with through the board as well. So you can contact the board office if you have ideas about that. There's going to be some committees meeting in May, specifically probably a transportation committee meeting that hopefully some parks will be able to join us at as well, where we're going to be discussing pushing that forward, in furtherance of what Sue was saying about the success at Cunningham Park. There are a number of people who on the board who think that that this is an area where we could see some positive developments in our community. And something that we've been working on. So, you know, this is on our sort of initiatives agenda, if you will, for 2021. So thank you, Jessica. We appreciate that. Okay, now we're moving on. Roll call, followed by the acceptance of the April minutes, which were circulated in advance. So this is not the most exciting time of the meeting, not the most exciting portion, but please do bear with us while we go through each board member's name for attendance and then do that once again when we take a voice vote on the acceptance of the minutes. We're going to be unmuting participants for the roll call. So we do ask that everyone please try and remain quiet unless you're being called on. I appreciate it. Joe?
So?
Over to you, sir.
Here.
Aviles?
Here.
Bale?
Present.
Bind?
Here. Present.
Bravo.
Present.
Budabin?
Present.
Burke?
Present.
Cerezo?
Here.
Chen? Here. Jason? Here. Chu? Chin?
Here.
Hayato? Carmen? Here. Dadris?
Here.
December?
Here.
Di Benedetto? Donahue? Mary with us?
Here.
Euler?
Here.
Ferrazzoli?
Here.
Filas?
Here.
Freed?
Yeah.
Gallatin?
Here.
Garippa?
Here.
Gillespie? Barbara? Golia? Jadis?
Here.
Haber? Hader?
Here.
James?
Here.
Kidwani?
Joe, this is Susan. Mohan is sending, I believe it is him, asking me for a link to the meeting.
Okay.
But I can't verify his
We'll send it to him. We'll send it to him. So thanks for letting us know.
I don't want to just send it on my own.
Okay. Jin? Stan? Kelly?
Here.
Lynzetta?
Here.
Linda Lee?
Here.
Joseph Lee?
Present.
Liotto?
Here.
Martino? Floor? Mahaltzis? Miller?
Yes, I'm here.
Montgomery?
Here.
Papachan?
Here.
Balzer?
Here.
Patel?
Here.
Pelbier?
Here.
Devour?
Present.
Popa?
Here.
Rastogi? Gungeon? Shearer?
Here.
Shiram?
Here.
Turner?
Here.
And Wong?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum, folks.
Perfect. Thank you, Joe. Thanks, everyone, for bearing with us. Okay, it's now time to vote on the acceptance of the April meeting minutes. These were circulated in advance. Do I have a motion to approve the April minutes?
You do have a motion.
Doug? One second. Stefan with the second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, I'm going to call the question. Again, please bear with us, Joe, for the vote, for the roll call vote.
One moment, please.
Joe, that's unacceptable.
See, Mike, you're taking 1 month off.
I know. I get all excited, right? I haven't seen you guys in a couple of months. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. All right. Scylla?
Yes.
Aviles?
Yep.
Bale?
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Budabin?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chen? Jason? Chin? Sharon?
Yes.
Dadris?
Yes.
December?
I wasn't there last month.
Okay. I'll put you as present. Donahue?
Yes.
Euler?
Yes.
Berzoli?
Yes.
Yes.
Filas?
Yes.
Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Garippa?
Yes.
Jadis?
Yes. Yes.
Haber. Bernie. Hader.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Is Mohan in here yet? Mohan? Kelly?
Yes.
Lynzetta?
Yes.
Linda Lee?
Yes.
Joseph Lee?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Papachan?
Yes.
Pauser?
Yes.
Patel?
Yes.
Talbier? Wendy?
I just saw her.
Yeah, she was just, she's in here. Wendy?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I couldn't get my mood off.
It's okay. I saw you. Pavour?
Yes.
Popa?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Shiram?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
Wong?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it if everyone can go back on mute to the extent that you have not already done so. Appreciate it. So time to move on to my announcements. So first off, we've had another busy month, and I am impressed by the work rate that the board has been able to continue to keep up during these difficult times. Some of this stuff you heard mentioned over the course of the announcements, but Joe and I did participate in a town hall with Assemblywoman Rozek's office. I know some of you were there. I saw some of you in at the town hall. I thought it was pretty successful, and it was great to be able to engage with community members with the Assemblywoman. It was I think very valuable and helpful. So I was happy to be a part of that. We also went to the Vanderbilt Motor Parkway groundbreaking, which was very exciting. As we all know, we don't always get wins for everything that we're looking to accomplish. And even when they take a while, it really is gratifying to see some of these things actually come to fruition. And just given everything that's been going on, it was also just really great. It was a beautiful sunny day. A lot of folks were there. The park looked fantastic. It was really nice. So that was definitely a good experience. And we also, Joe and myself, along with Justin, our education committee chair, toured the Cardozo High School construction site, where they're redoing the ball field and also putting in a second building, which is really fantastic. It's supposed to add 400 person capacity, although we understand that the school itself is not going to take on new students, so that's what we've been told, so that it will create some additional room for the kids to expand. I also caught a glimpse of the new football soccer field track area that they put in, and I just got to say it's just absolutely beautiful. It's just really nice to see facilities like that at schools and in the community. And I'm looking forward to the time that I can take my kids by there and peer through the chain link fence and see some excellent Northeast Queens sports domination. So one other thing I just wanted to mention, Joe will be able to give you some details, but we have opened the office back up on a limited basis, staffing it in person, which is very exciting. It's a big moment for us as a board. It's been a long time that we haven't been in the office physically. Joe, you just want to talk about that a little bit, how we're staffing the office right now?
Yeah, so starting Wednesday, we're going to have someone there every day. We're not going to have, due to the size of the office, any overlap between us in the very, very beginning. There may be a couple hours here or there where we have a little bit of overlap, but no more than two people in the office at any time. And we're each going to do 2 days in the office, which should allow us to open up. We're obviously at this time not going to take any kind of walk-ins or anything like that, but anybody that might need to drop off documents to us in person could come into the vestibule, leave something and then go, or we could leave something for someone else. So we're really looking forward to it. It should be a really good thing to get some of the physical filing done that we haven't been able to as of yet. And from here on out, we'll each be 3 days remote, 2 days in person. The office phone will cease going directly to my cell phone, which is, for me, I'm going to throw a party. And that should be it. I mean, other than that, we're happy to get in there. At a certain point, you get sick of wearing sweatpants, so. I see a lot of laughter, but I'm not hearing it, so I'm assuming that was a bomb, but I see a lot of smiles. Mike, you're on mute.
I know, that's really unfortunate. No, I think smiling is the new laughing when you're on Zoom, yeah. Right? Like we all get used to being on mute, so we just go, oh. But no, that wasn't. It is exciting, and it's a, you know, I think while we're still quite limited in what we're doing, and obviously as Joe said, this is far from operations as normal. It's a step forward, and I think it's important for us as a community to acknowledge these things, and as a board to acknowledge these things, because it's been a long road, you know, since last March when a lot of these restrictions were put in place, and this is definitely a positive development. So I just wanted to put a little highlight on that. That will be starting here shortly, you know, and obviously we'll keep people updated on, you know, how things change and develop. Hopefully as things continue to open up and improve, you know, in that area. So just really quickly, we had our usual busy month of committee meetings in April as well. It's been the norm lately. We had a capital expense committee meeting on April 14th with good attendance. We're making some good progress there. We had a Douglaston.
How'd you do? Stop.
Okay, sorry about that. So we had a Douglaston Zoning Committee meeting on April 20th. Want to thank Doug for chairing that. Landmarks Committee meeting on the 21st. Lauren Burney, we appreciate you chairing that. Transportation Committee meeting on the 27th. Victor, as always, thanks for chairing the Transportation Committee meeting, and an Education Committee meeting on April 28th. And a big thanks to Justin for chairing that meeting. So we appreciate everyone who attended those meetings and participated, and to all of our chairs. So one thing on that note that I wanted to briefly discuss is committee appointments for this coming year. So we are going to be circulating to everyone this week the sign-up sheet for committees. And I just sort of wanted to put a special emphasis on this. I'm asking people in advance to carefully consider what they put their name down for. You know, sort of looking through things, you know, there are some folks who you know, are on committees and come to all of the meetings, and some folks who come to many less. And there are some people who are on lots of committees and come to some more than others. And then we have some committees that simply have too many members. And then when something is exciting, you know, going on, we get a whole bunch of people coming and voting. And then when it's a little bit less exciting, we don't have the same turnout. So we are going to be critically reviewing the committee requests this year to ensure that we have the appropriate number of people on committees, and that we have people on each of these committees that is passionate about that particular subject matter. So I will ask everybody to please just consider it. Think whether you actually wanna come to the committee meetings and try and sign up for, you know, just a couple of committees that you're passionate about and are going to participate in and really be into and have ideas and all that stuff. And maybe leave some of that secondary, some of those secondary points to others. Because, you know, in the end, if we have too many people on some of these committees, I'm going to have to pare them down. I'd rather not do that, but if I have to, I will. And I'm going to be taking into account people's attendance and engagement and all that stuff. So I just sort of want to let people know that in advance. As well, if you are a chair of a committee, please, you know, be aware that, as I said last year, I'm going to be looking at the chairpersonships, you know, with some detail this year, because I know we've had some people who want to be chairs of committee that haven't yet had an opportunity to do that. And I want to make that available to people to be able to step into leadership roles on the board. So if you are a chair of a committee and frankly are happy to step down because you've had enough of that or happy to do that, please let me know that in advance. That makes my job easier. Obviously, I'm not going to be removing all the chairs, but I did want people to know that we are going to be looking at that, and that is going to be something that's going to be, you know, being considered. And I think I let everybody know that last year when I sort of told folks that I wasn't really going to be looking too critically at all of it that first year that I was chair of the board. Now I've been here for about 12 months. I have a sense of things. And I just want to make sure that we're aligned, that people are getting opportunities, and that the committees are sort of at the right level. So as I said, any questions about that, we can take those offline. Any discussions about that, we can take those offline. We don't need to have those here, but you are going to be getting your committee sign-up sheets this week. We'll be announcing that the committees next month. And again, I'm happy to have any discussions with people personally about, you know, any of those points or matters. Okay. That brings us to board member new business. I know I have at least two folks who want to speak during board member new business. I'm going to go to them first, and I'm going to open the floor to other board members. If they do have new business, please do remember that it should be new business. If it's something that was discussed at a previous meeting, then that's something that we would put back onto the agenda at a future meeting. If it was appropriate, you can contact me afterwards. But anything new, this is the time to raise it, and we can, you know, decide whether we want to send it to committee or not, or push things forward at a future board meeting, etc. So I'm going to start with Sharon. Sharon, I think you wanted to just give a couple of quick announcements about the upcoming election and make a few points in advance of next month, when you're going to do a little session with a couple of others I think Jyoti and perhaps Eileen on ranked choice voting. Sharon? Yes,
absolutely. Thanks, Mike. And Joe, I'm not sure if you're going to present the slides at the same time.
I'll give you screen share ability if you'd like.
Okay, sure.
Okay, you're good to screen share whenever you're ready.
Okay, so hopefully you guys can see my screen, but as John Gallo alluded to earlier, New York City will have ranked choice voting for the first time in decades. And there's a huge push by the New York City government, as well as by the Queensborough Office of the President, to make sure that everyone knows what this means and how this affects the outcomes. So Eileen, Jyoti, and I are on the Queens Civic Engagement Committee, and we will be doing a more in-depth presentation at the June meeting. But just to give you guys a preview, what's going to happen is that you can now vote for your candidates in order of preference, and you can select up to 5 candidates per each role. So instead of just selecting a single one, you now have, you know, up to 5 choices. This will be implemented citywide on the New York City primaries, which are happening June 22nd. And if you want to vote and participate, if you're not yet registered to vote, you have until May 28th to get your registration in. And there's a couple other key dates where you have until June 2nd to change your address and until June 15th to request an absentee ballot. And then there will be early voting between June 12th and June 20th. Ranked choice voting is considered a more democratic process than the system we have in place now, because, you know, all these reasons to sit here. But, you know, in our current system, you could win with just a majority vote, but a majority vote could be, you know, 13% versus 10% versus 12%. So by changing it to majority support, it means that you have to have, you know, a greater percentage. And this is something that will reflect more of our opinions and choices. It also discourages negative campaigning, because when you want to get on the ballot, you don't want to hurt your candidates. So it promotes, you know, the rising of the best of the goods versus, you know, just the worst choice. So those are just some of the examples. If we move to the next slide, just some key questions that have been asked. You know, do you have to rank your choices? The answer is no. If you have just a single candidate that you endorse and support, you can select just one. Do you have to rank 5? No, you can select anywhere from 1 to 5. And just in terms of how it works, if during the election there is one winner with a greater than 50% outcome, then the voting is done. There is no continuation, right? The majority winner voted candidate wins. But if that is not the case, the bottom candidate will be eliminated and their votes will be redistributed until ultimately there is a winner who reflects that majority. And just as a reminder, we have an enormous number of positions open for election this year, including the mayor, the New York City Comptroller, public advocate, and many city council members. I believe 35 of those seats are open, completely open due to term limits. So be prepared to see those. And if anyone is interested in doing a presentation to your communities to make sure that they have the awareness of how to do ranked choice voting, I believe Joe and Mike will distribute in the Weekly Digest some social media kits and messages that we received from the city committee so that you can do this on your own. Okay, that's it.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Really appreciate that. And we are, just to put another point on it, we are going to have a little bit more of an in-depth presentation at the June meeting in advance of the election. This is obviously very important for all of us to be empowered appropriately, you know, in our democracy to vote. We need to understand it. And because the system is changing, you know, I encourage everyone to pay attention to this so that you can make sure when you go to cast your ballot that it reflects what you want and the opportunities that ranked choice voting provides. One quick note, just to sort of put a little bit of emphasis on this as well. These are citywide positions that we're talking about here for ranked choice voting. So it's not going to apply, you know, to other elections. So, you know, you're not going to see that in the presidential election, et cetera. This is a new and exciting thing for New York City. And Sharon, we appreciate your and Eileen and Jyoti's time that you've put towards this and appreciate that you're going to make it available to the board and the broader community. So thank you for that.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great. So Henry had also let me know in advance that he wanted to speak during board member new business. Henry, I think you were going to go over the BSA this month, as well as talk about the state issues that we had discussed.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Joe, Carmen Collado was trying to get online. I was having difficulty. So I gave her the phone number and the meeting ID to call in. I don't know if she did or not.
Okay. Carmen, if you're here just at some point, you know, when we're taking a vote or something.
Okay,
there you are.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Oh, good. Thank you, Henry. Thank you.
You're welcome. At the BSA during April, only one of our cases came up for a decision. And that was the physical culture establishment or gym at 4119 Bell Boulevard. And the board mentioned that they were very satisfied with the application and the response that they received. Everything that they asked the applicant to do and everything that the community board wanted to see has been done, including cleaning up the side entrance on 42nd Avenue to the establishment, making sure that the area was not blocked for people with handicaps. And the only condition that they, but that was new that they put in was a condition regarding the treadmills in the basement gym. They were concerned that the treadmills, if they were all being used at once, would create vibrations and possibly interfere with the emergency medical place that's next door to the gym. So they put that in as a condition that if the emergency medical place started to complain about the vibrations, that the gym had to do something to address that situation. So they approved the application and it was closed. The next thing I just wanted to mention was the state legislation regarding accessory dwelling units that would legalize extra dwellings on private property. So that would include legalizing garage apartments, basement apartments, and so forth. And a lot of people find that a little concerning because of the impact it could have on the community. So when we discussed it at first at the community board, we thought it would be a good idea to have a representative come to speak about this particular piece of legislation. I know Joe has been trying very hard to get an arrangement so that somebody from either Assemblyman Epstein, who is the sponsor at the assembly level, he could have somebody come, or maybe somebody from the state Senate's chief sponsor, who is Senator Harkham. However, there's been very no real response, and sometimes calls are not returned, which is troubling. Last week, I called both offices on Monday. I wanted to get an update on the legislation, where it is at this point. And I was told that at the assembly level, they're waiting for a date for a committee meeting. And at the state Senate level, they have a committee meeting of the Judiciary Committee. And then from there, it will move up to the other committees. And I did ask, I mentioned that we've been trying to get confirmation to have somebody come to speak to our community board, so that we could understand what the legislation involved and we could ask questions. And we were having trouble getting a date set. So they promised that they would do that. They would contact us and would try to set up a date. Well, we didn't get any response yet about that. I called again on Thursday and I left messages asking them also to contact us. So we'll continue to work on that, and hopefully at the June meeting, we'll have somebody speak to us about this legislation. And finally, I just wanted to mention that former board member Mandingo Shaka will be celebrating his 90th birthday next week on May 12th. Now, some of you worked with him for many years while on the board, and you know he was a very passionate community advocate, civic leader, a civil rights activist, and founder of Old Town Flushing Burial Ground Conservancy. And he is now a resident at the Hillside Manor Nursing Home, where he's doing quite well. And I will send in information to Joe tomorrow about the address and everything in case anybody would want to drop him a card or a note congratulating him on his birthday. So thank you very much. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Henry. And as always, thank you for helping push forward the board's agenda in terms of getting someone to come speak on the issue at the state legislature. I do think that's an important issue. As we know, zoning matters are important to this community and we need to stay on top of them and understand how any new proposed legislation is going to work. I realize it may not be technically zoning, it's at state level, but these are matters that we need to understand. And also thank you for the announcement about Mandingo, a 90th birthday. It's very, very exciting. I know he did a ton of work in the community and for the board. So thank you for letting us know that. We will disseminate that information to board members in case they'd like to wish Mandingo a happy birthday. That's certainly a milestone. So thank you for that. And also, of course, good to hear that one of our local applications at the BSA was well received and that the board's work seems to have been helpful and accomplished. You know that those zoning committee meetings are important. And I'm glad to see that. The licensing committee, excuse me. Board member new business. Anybody else have anything for board member new business? I'm checking.
I just have one question, if I could.
Eileen, of course.
Henry, are they still having the... Are they still having the hearings at the BSA online where anyone could? So that would be interesting if anyone would like to get online and just see how the system works before they go back to the office. It's just an idea. I'm going to do it myself because I want to see how it works.
That's an excellent idea. Thank you, Eileen.
Before they go back in the office, and who's going to go to Manhattan? It's just a little easier. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mike. Sorry.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you, Ellie. Okay. So we're now going to move on to the committee.
1 second.
Wait a minute. I think that Douglas had something that he wanted to say.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. I just want to remind everybody, I mentioned it before, for the 8th year in a row, we're doing electronics recycling at St. Anastasia parking lot. It's going to be the 22nd of this month. It'll be between 10 and 4. We're going to expand it to a shredding event and possibly a contaminant take back, like at Cunningham Park at some point in the future. But because of the pandemic, we decided to keep it simple and do just the electronics this year, this spring. So that will be on the 22nd from 10 to 4 at the parking lot of St. Anastasia. Anything electronic, not kitchen appliances, but old stereo equipment, old printers, old computers, everything gets wiped out. They two magnets over everything to remove the hard drive information and they recycle it. So there is going to be no Memorial Day parade, unfortunately, again this year. The city is not granting permits. We're trying to do something on the side, and I'm working with the 111 because we're so close to our centennial that we're trying to keep it intact, even with a little small contingent marching. So we'll see what happens. I'm in touch with community affairs, but electronics recycling, I mean, it's an amazing thing. We've probably pulled in 20 tons since we started this of electronics that didn't go into the landfills. So that's a great thing. And please spread the word about it out there so that people understand that it's there. It's very easy. They don't have to get out of their vehicles. There's people there to pick it out of their cars for them and take it. Everybody is socially distanced. Everybody has masks. And we usually have some politicians there too, so we can make fun of them. I have pictures. Seen in Lou carrying big printers. So.
Doug, what's the date, time, and location again, please?
22nd of this month, St. Anastasia parking lot off of Alameda Avenue.
And what's the time? Do you know the time?
Offhand? 10 to 4.
10 to 4. Thank you so much. It really is a fantastic service to the community. I see you there, Christine. It's a fantastic service to the community, Doug, and we really do appreciate it. So thank you so much for that. Christine.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say thank you to Doug and all the people that put this event on. It's wonderful because, like he says, you just drive up, you pop your trunk, they take it out, you drive away. It's wonderful. I've used it several times. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
And if there are shut-ins or seniors that can't make it, I will drive and pick it up if I get their information.
Thank you very much. Mohan, do I see your hand? Just got to unmute yourself. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Doug, one more thing. Are you still going to have the Schrader actually sometimes later in the summer?
We plan on the shredding coming this fall for the next electronics recycling after we get a little bit further through the pandemic.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to move on to committee reports. Thanks, everybody. So as we have been doing recently, we're going to limit the committee report section to those for which there's a significant matter to report or something that we're going to be voting on. Otherwise, the committee minutes are disseminated to everyone. And of course, you can always follow up with the office or with the committee chair if you have questions on any of those points. But in that vein, Doug, as chair of the Douglas and Zoning Committee, I know we don't have a matter to vote on, but I just thought it made sense given the fact that this matter has been before the board before for update, that maybe you could just give us an update on the matter regarding the potential Mizumi rezoning on Northern Boulevard. I know there's no live application at this time, so we're not going to be taking a vote, but did think it made sense to give a quick update if you're able to do that.
I will give a quick update. I found out privately that they were going for a zoning change, an overlay on that strip from Mizumi to Alameda Avenue. To combine and do an overlay of C22 on top of the R12, which is currently there. So I got in touch with the attorney, found out that both of them were actually independently doing this. They got together and we had a committee meeting because we've been basically blindsided a couple times in the past with some projects that are happening in Douglaston right now, including the corner of Douglaston and Northern and the homeless shelter. It's nowhere near being presented, but I wanted to address it just so that we had it out in front of people and they could make their choices between now and then what they wanted to do. We do have two letters which will be disseminated by Joe, one from Douglaston Civic and one from Westmoreland, Walter Mugden. Not in favor of it. There has been nothing submitted to the city yet. What the city officials say that it won't be submitted until next year. So we're way ahead of the learning curve on this because we've been burned a couple times in the past recently. They're going to make a presentation to do it. You know, I don't know what to say. There's pros and cons to it. There is no vote on the table right now. It's just obtaining information and letting people know that this is in the works, again, rather than being blindsided last minute. That's pretty much all I have to talk about that.
Yep, that's perfect, Doug. Thank you. Jessica, I saw you had your hand up. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Doug, and to the and to the zoning committee for bringing this to our attention, because even though it does seem like it is a very attractive way to fix up what is an eyesore along Northern Boulevard, I believe there were some really good points made about the environmental impact that could end up happening from this. So my thought on that is not only the possible issue of runoff from that area, I'm old enough to remember when there was not that pump station nearby. And I believe that pump station was put in and thinking about the way that the wetland works as is, not having additional buildings. But also, I don't know as much as I should, considering my position with the park organization, about the environmental impact, but also the birding aspect. And I know that Crocheron Park is a beautiful park for birding, and so is Alley Pond Park. And the Atlantic Flyway is something that we're right in the middle of. And we are not Manhattan. We are not a place where we're going to have these massive buildings that are going to be put up. And obviously nobody, I'm very offended by the way that the birds are treated in Manhattan. And I don't even know much about birds. But yeah, I think those are two things that we could possibly think about, reaching out to some environmental scientists that may know something about the area and the issue of the runoff and how that could not only harm the wetland, but also create possible flooding along literally the only throughway between our area and Long Island, but also the issue with the migration of the birds. And yes, there is already the golf course that has a lot of issue with the lighting, but that's bad enough already. And we will, as I learned in the meeting, it will be kind of opening it up to any kind of development there and being able to ensure that the bird migration is not harmed and that we're able to continue to ensure that that is a viable species and also something that helps us, I believe, with internal within the state, a lot of tourism from what I've understood. Thank you for my time.
Thank you, Jessica, appreciate that. And I know that we are, sorry, go ahead.
Hi, I got
you, Joan, just give me one sec. Let Doug respond as the committee chair. And then I got you next, Joan. And then Eileen, I see your hand as well.
Yeah, we just addressed this because there's definitely positives to it. The BSA that we approved going to the BSA, they've all been denied by the BSA for the extension of Mizumi, for the extension of the car dealership. All the things over the last 5 years that come in front of us have been denied. So they're just trying to be able to use the property. One of the positive aspects of this is with the zoning change, anybody that develops is going to have to do a full environmental study of the property. And as I discussed with Bernie, who knows everything about this neighborhood because he's been here since Jesus. there was a car parts store there, like a chop shop. I mean, it's been nothing but contaminated soil forever. That flows right into Alley Pond whenever there's rain. You know, we can't get rid of it. It flows out to Little Neck Bay, but we're just concerned about that. Walter Mugden's, and you'll see the letter from him, his major concern is that if we allow it to go C22, then the city is going to have a much more difficult time taking back those properties and making it all parkland, which is a very valid point. Although I don't see the city having funds for that in the next decade.
Right. Right.
But,
One sec, Eileen. I got Joan. Thank you, Doug. I got Joan first, then Eileen, then Henry. And just one reminder to everyone, happy to hear comments. And if anyone has any questions for Doug, but we aren't actually voting on this right now.
There is no vote.
That's right. So for lack of a better term, we don't need to go back and forth with each other. We can all say what we think is relevant, but this is going to eventually be voted on. There will be a time and place for that, but happy to hear people's thoughts and views as it stands now. Joan?
And anybody can reach out to me if they want more information after the meeting. You can call, you can get my cell phone, you can get my email. Feel free to give me a call. And you're allowed, as members of CB11, you're allowed to attend the meetings. So, you know, when they come up again, and they will come up again, you'll be notified. And if you want to attend, you can.
100%. Thank you, Doug. Joan, go ahead.
Okay. Under the ages of history, I would remind people that at one point there was Kitty City there, not just a dump, but Kitty City was there also. But I want to go to other things. There was a question about R32 on the maps. Parkland reverts to R32. We had a plan back in the 90s to get this all done. The entire corridor was supposed to be this wonderful parkland for the birds and nature walks and what have you, and somewhere along the line, it didn't get done. We have DNAP streets down there, which the ownership is in question. It's possibly all parkland, and if it isn't, it should be, because you need a way to get in and get out. This is a perfect place. We talk about spots for bikers. This is a perfect place for what we have been advocating all along, that you put a bike trail right on the edge so everybody can see all the lovely things that are there to see, and that's what we should be advocating for. Then they, somebody asked about air rights. You need an R6 to have air rights. So it's just an answer to a question. And this fails to address what's going on. This fails to address spot zoning. To stand there and come back after this has already been rezoned, we've had massive projects in this board, rezoning, downzoning areas where it was determined that it was in the best interest of the people who were there and those to come after that we had to have uniform zoning. And here we are with another two projects, three projects, standing there wanting to spot zone. It does not serve us or anybody else in the city well to spot zone. We're really going to lose quality of life. We're going to lose, in terms of the alley, we're going to lose parkland. This is parkland. That's what it was conceived as. That's what it was designed for. We've got berms up to protect part of the land. We need to get finished with a project that's as long as I am here. And I was a resident of Queens going way, way back. So we ought to be pushing that in our area and for and with anybody else who has the same problems along those lines. Spot zoning is not the thing to do. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much, Joan. Appreciate that. Eileen, you're next.
Okay, I agree with Joan 100%. I just have one question. So we had two meetings with them. Are we going to continue to have these every couple of month meetings with them until they go with the full proposal? I mean, is that what's going to happen?
It's at our discretion to have these sort of informational engagements with them. As a general matter, we have been, as a general policy matter, recently we've been granting people, you know, those conversations with our committees on the basis that, as Doug was sort of saying at the beginning of the meeting, it gives us updated information, you know, as a board. Obviously, you know, to the extent we felt that, I don't want to, for lack of a better term, that was being taken advantage of and we were being asked to meet on a micro basis, we could consider it at that time. So I think the short answer to that, Eileen, is that it's on a case-by-case basis. When we're not obligated to meet, you know, by virtue of the city charter to address an issue and vote on it, and we're not on the clock, you know, we think about it as a board and discuss it with committee chair and make a determination at that time.
And we've only had one formal meeting with the attorneys together in a combined setting.
But that was the second meeting we had regarding the rezoning of that area, Northern Boulevard, no?
Correct, but they got together as one group, both attorneys, both sites.
Yeah, I think long story short, it was almost like a continuation of the first discussion, if you will, because that's I think what Doug was basically saying. It wasn't sort of two big separate, you know, with big chunks in between.
All I'm saying is I think we need to take a real good hard look at what's happening and how they're going to try to manipulate it to their benefit. That's it. But you know what? It is what it is. We do what we have to do moving forward. And as long as everyone's aware of what's happening, then fine. We do what the board feels is best.
Thank you, That's Eileen. It.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. Appreciate that. Henry, I saw your hand up. And then after this, we're going to move on.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. To answer Jessica's question about the environmental impact, one of us might want to contact Dr. Andrew Grella. He's a retired biology professor from Queens College. He knows a lot about the area, about the estuary there and the wetlands and the environmental aspects of the site. Also, the Queens County Bird Club is a very active organization that deals with birding, especially in the wetland areas. They meet periodically and they may be a group to contact as well. When you put in a C22 overlay, there's a lot of different possible businesses that could go there. as some of them are not, that they do not have too much of an impact, but a lot of them do. So it's a very tricky situation about what could be there and how harmful the impact could be on the marshlands and the park itself. And as far as Mizumi is concerned, their case for the variance was not denied. They did not want to proceed with the variance after they heard what the Board of Standards and Appeals asked them to do. It would cost a lot of money. So that's why they withdrew the case and are now seeking a zoning change instead. So there's a lot of aspects to consider, but I agree totally with Joan and Eileen that this place should be preserved as a parkland. It could have wonderful possibilities for our community, and we really need to look at this very carefully. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Henry. I appreciate that, and we should.
And Mike, rather than me respond to that, I'm going to defer to Paulie Coconuts.
Well, thank you, Doug. I don't have much to say on it because you guys said it all, but just to say that if you look at the map, it's very simple. You know, the alley comes like this. You know, there's Little Neck Bay, and it comes in like this. And everything in that space has, this is what Joan said before, everything in that space between Northern Boulevard or maybe the edge of the bay, Northern Boulevard, you know, the train tracks, Northern Boulevard, and then the parkland. Everything in that space is already preserved, is already city property, you know, parkland, city property. Except for that little thumb right over here, sticks out. And that's these commercial. That should be bought by the city. We this community board for years, as you guys probably mentioned already, you know, put money, kept asking for money for the ravine, you know, in Douglaston or Little Neck, I'm sorry. And I forget the name of it right now, I'm so sorry. And over time that money was secured and those properties are bought by the city. And now it's a beautiful place and it's safe. And this is even more sensitive arguably than that property. So there's no reason that we as a community, the reason that Walter Mugden and the people who before him who started that, the reason that project succeeded was the really hard work of that community. But that community has civic groups around it. And this has nothing, this has no representation except for CB11. So we have to do what everybody just said before is we have to start advocating for that property. It doesn't matter if it's 10 years. What matters is that if it gets changed to C22, it'll never go back the other way. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I appreciate everybody's input. That will come before the board in due course. And in the meantime, we can pursue some of this information as we've been discussing. So we're just gonna move on to our second agenda item during the committee reports. And in fact, this is not based off of a committee meeting that we had this month, but it is based off an issue that was before the board last month. I wasn't here for the discussion, but I know that it passed. Adriana from Public Relations Committee Chair wanted to follow up on the vote that occurred for the community service program that we were going to put in place, the contest that we were going to put in place. Adrienne, I think you wanted to discuss a follow-up to that discussion. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to thank Victor for the last meeting because it was a great meeting held by Victor, even though there was a lot going on, but I think Victor did an awesome job. So thank you, Victor, for that.
Thank you, Adriana.
Sure. So we just presented to everyone that our idea of offering some kind of award or certificate, and we're just going to put it before the board. I know we had a lot of discussion about it and the ideas of whether it's going to be a female or a male and a male. We're saying that we're going to be award that too. So that's what we're bringing before the board.
Okay. So Adriana, do you want to just sort of state what the motion would be?
Sure. Now I know Stefan was pretty, he had a pretty good summary of what we were going to do. Stefan?
Just to be clear here, we're keeping what was approved last month, right? But you wanted to add one additional, we don't need to re-vote on whatever was voted on last month. You wanted to add an amendment to it. Is that right, Adriana?
Add an amendment as far as what we didn't say yet specifically who the award was going to. We just presented it to the board as an idea. So what we're doing today is just saying specifically a male and a female. For the beginning, we had brought that before the last board, and to see if we're going to increase it as time goes by, or what kind of input we have.
Okay, so to be clear, we want to amend the motion, or the program that was approved by the motion at the last meeting, to add that we would do two awards, one to a male and one to a female. Is that do I understand that?
And okay, then so then to continue on to see how we see fit. If we need more, if we need to change it around to see what kind of community participation we have.
Okay, so that's and do you make a motion in that regard, Adriana?
Yes, I'll make a motion.
Okay, do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, I think I heard Christine second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, I'm not seeing any. I'm gonna call the question. Joe, can you please take a roll call vote?
Scylla?
Yes.
Aviles?
Yes.
Bale?
Yes.
Bind?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Budabin?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Cerezo? Yes. Chin?
Yes, with a comment that if you have only, you know, female candidates or male candidates, that you still can give the award to the top two candidates.
So I think from a technical procedural perspective, the motion is being voted on, so we can't amend the motion now. But I think what we can say is that in the event of a circumstance that would occur in the future, we can always make a determination to amend at that time.
Ayato?
Yes.
Dennis.
Yes.
December. Lourdes.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Di Benedetto.
Yes.
Donahue.
Yes.
Euler.
Yes.
Rizzoli.
Yes.
Vilas.
Yes.
Free.
Yes.
Gallatin.
Yes.
Ripa.
Yes.
Jadis.
Yes.
Are you here?
Yes.
Hader.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Jithwani.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lanzetta.
Yes.
Linda Lee.
Yes.
Joseph Lee.
Yes.
Liotto.
Yes.
Miller.
Yes.
Montgomery.
Yes.
Papachan.
Yes.
Paulzer.
Yes.
Patel.
Yes.
Talbir. Wendy.
Yes. Yeah.
Bavauer.
Yes.
Popa.
Yes.
Shearer.
Yes.
Shiram.
Yes.
Turner.
Yes.
And Wong.
Yes.
The yeas have it. It's unanimous.
Okay, perfect. So thank you very much. We're going to move forward with that program, to prepare and have the contest as we discussed. So thank you for that. All right, that's the last matter that was going to be part of the committee report section. So we're now going to finish up with the month ahead and our adjournment. So really quickly, as I always do, just wanted to mention the meetings that we currently have scheduled on May 10th. We have a budget committee meeting scheduled. The 12th, it's a capital and expense committee meeting. And by the way, to those who are busy on a monthly basis that Wednesday, we'll make sure not to schedule that meeting when the Historical Society is also meeting. So we're going to take that into account. I apologize for that miscommunication, and that's not going to happen going forward. And we have a libraries committee meeting on May 19th. All of these meetings will be taking place at 7:30 on Zoom. Before we adjourn, I just have one more piece of news, and this is for all of the Mets fans out there that have been Mets fans for a long time. It just so happens that the Mets are playing the Cardinals tonight. Adam Wainwright is pitching for the Cardinals. Some of you may remember in 2006 in the National League Championship Series that Adam Wainwright struck out Carlos Beltran to end the series on a wicked curveball. And we put up a 5 spot against him tonight. The Mets are up 5-2 in the third. Given that it's Adam Wainwright, I thought that was worthy of a quick note. Good job, everybody, tonight. I appreciate everyone's efficiency. Good comments. Great meeting.
The last plug with the Mets in. I gotta say something.
When you're chair, you get to talk about the Yankees. Joe, please.
Listen, I was at the Yankee game yesterday, all right? So I already got two games in, all right? I'm already 2 games in.
I meet you at Citi Field. I meet you at Yankee Stadium.
Actually, I'm going to take that as a motion to adjourn since we're talking about the Yankees. I will second that motion. Everybody have a wonderful night. Thank you so much. We all love all of our New York teams. Thanks, everybody, so much.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Thank you. Good night, everybody. Bye.